Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Show coming back from holiday, coming back from relaxation, coming back to the airwaves and online. I've got a couple of things to say in this first hour. In fact, quite a number of things to say. And if you'd like to welcome me back or whatever, the caller lines are open. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Now, it's been a good 3 weeks since the last broadcast. 2012 was a huge year for me, and I'm sure it was a huge year for many. So much went on, so much has been achieved, and as a result, you get burnt out by the very end of the year. You know, about 21st December 2012, everybody ringing me, oh, end of the year or whatever. For me, it was always a psyop. And sure enough, it was. Back in the day, prophets used to be held accountable. If their prophecy did not come true, bang, dead. They got killed. Maybe we should bring some of that back. No, I'm kidding. It would be pretty funny, though. Oh, love and light for the 2012. Bang. Go away. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I don't have to deal with that stuff anymore. The other concept I wanted to lay on to people and really kind of fix into now is not just the fact that when a year's over, nothing really changes. It just keeps going round in a circle, much like a Mayan calendar. It's actually work, you know, jobs, that kind of thing. I had this Facebook status, get a job equals be a slave. And a lot of people didn't really know what I meant by that. And I kind of wanted to explain it, is that when you are told, as I have many, many times, to go get a job and to stop doing what I'm doing, the translation of what these people are actually saying to me is, be a slave like me. Otherwise, you're not worth anything. You know, that's basically it. That's all I meant by that. And I was also upset one of my listeners who thought that because he had a job and was feeding his family that I was calling him a slave. It's like, oh, hold on. I'm a slave too, okay? And he was like, oh, how can you say that, Vinny? Well, here's why. I don't have a choice, okay? I don't have a choice. If I didn't want to pay tax, I would either, I don't know, have a real problem dealing with anything. Okay. So, for example, if I wanted to say stop paying tax, and I know many people who have, and all of them are broke and under harassment constantly by authorities. Okay. And I have people telling me, Vinny, you know, you should do that. You should be broke and be under constant harassment by not paying tax and doing things in a proper way. I don't think that's a good idea. And the fact that I don't even have a choice in the matter, okay, like those are my two choices. Pay a significant portion of your income to scumbags who don't even explain or even give you an option, or live life in perpetual poverty under constant harassment. Those are my choices. I'm a slave. I realize this. The difference between me and a lot of people is that I, in fact, realize what slavery truly is. Okay, a lot of people don't understand that. And just because I'm saying get a job equals be a slave doesn't mean I don't work. Okay, I do like 10, 14 hour days most of the time, 5-6 days a week. I really, really do bust my ass. And every single job I have ever had in my entire life has been much the same. I've always been the one to show up first, leave last. So when I say get a job equals be a slave, it really means something. Because I'm talking about somebody who was a primo slave, somebody who was a primo salesman and was capable of generating revenue just whoosh, straight out of nowhere. I can't do that anymore. The real problem that I have with employment in general is not having a choice. Okay? Can you go and do that over there? Well, I don't have a choice, do I? Why did you ask me, can I? Why did you even say please? Why don't you just force me? Because really, I don't have a choice if I'm employed, do I? That's what being a slave is really about. And I think we'd all best recognize what we really are, despite the fact that we're currently slaves and working in some kind of slave job or informant. I mean, even doing the show, I still count as a form of slavery / employment. It's different in that I have many employers. You, the listeners, you who contribute and donate to the show, who suggest guests, I consider to be my employers. But your employers that I can disobey if I wish to. And that you can't fire me. I'll do what I feel is right and work as hard as I can, as I normally do. And if anybody's got a problem with that, tell me about it, please. And I'll see what I can do. It doesn't mean that I'm free. It doesn't mean that my car doesn't break down every other day. A lot of people don't want to be slaves anymore, and I accept the fact that's really a noble cause to end human slavery, to stop paying unapportioned taxes, to stop having to work for somebody who you don't like, doing something that you don't like, listening to people who you don't respect, and working for people who don't respect you. Kind of stuff is really horrific. So if getting a job equals slavery, then conversely creating your own income equals freedom. That's what we all really want, isn't it? We want freedom. We want our time, we want our money, and we want our lives back. That's all we really want at the end of the day. We don't want to control everybody else. We don't want to tell everybody else what to do because we don't want people telling us what to do. We don't want people controlling us. As far as I'm concerned, I just want to be my own master. I want to be able to live my life and do anything I want, so long as I hurt nobody, damage and steal anybody's property. Nobody should be able to tell me or compel me to do anything. That's my perspective on that. And it's a really important realization that I had just a couple of days ago. And I thought it was worth sharing with you all, because you listeners are the very reason why I am free in any way. Really, you can't be free just on your own. Everybody has to be free. Or nobody is. You understand? I had this really horrific experience. It's called family over the holidays. Now, I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this show, and this is the realization that hit me, have trouble with their family. You know, they might not listen to you. As with my sisters, and I couldn't even get more than two sentences into a talk of anything. Of anything. Without being diverted and being told that I'm not worth listening to. And the inherent frustration of that my own family doesn't think that anything that I have to say is relevant or real or of consequence, when I believe that everything that I do is specifically driven towards that particular goal. I don't want to live a life of little consequence. I don't want to discuss things that are of little importance. I want to change the world. I want to make it a better place. I want to help people. I want to make things happen that have not happened before. Or maybe they have, and maybe it's time to bring them back. Freedom, you know. And this was what happened. I got so angry because I was not able to speak my mind or be expressed or be listened to that I stormed out of the house. It was on my birthday of all times. This was when usually the worst time of the year for me, on the 29th of December every year. Do you know what everybody's doing on the 29th of December? The answer is they're not at Vinny's birthday party because they're always off on holiday or something. And nobody ever turns up to my birthday parties, ever. Okay, even my 21st birthday party, you know, supposedly the most important birthday party of your life. I had a couple of workmates turn up. That was it. You know, not even people that I particularly liked. And I got so angry with my sister and just walked away and up the road and sat down, rolled a cigarette, and I've stopped smoking now. Last 6 days, piece of cake, nothing problem. Don't need a fracking quit line. Just didn't want to smoke anymore. And I was thinking to myself, I wanted to scream out loud. I wanted to rage at the sky. I wanted to yell so loud and so strong that all the pain and frustration and anger within me would get expelled. Then I realized that I was surrounded by houses. All these people around me who have no idea who I am would suddenly hear the screaming and this horrific banshee call in the middle of nowhere and freak them out. So I said to myself, oh, I can't do that. Not to total strangers. So I've got to try something else. How do I deal with this frustration of not being listened to by my own family? Closed my eyes, thought about it for a second. My sister's opinion doesn't matter. She doesn't know about anything that I know. No idea about 9/11. No idea about chemtrails. No idea about corruption. The three most common words, that she was saying during the time when I was up there is my three most hated words. I don't care. I don't care. She literally doesn't care about anybody else but herself. Cruel, shallow, disgusting. Everything that I hate. And then this wave of Zen came over me. She doesn't matter. She's wrong. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm right. I'm clued up. I have some idea of what's going on. My opinion matters. I just realized who I was. I'm Vinnie Eastwood. I expose copious quantities of scumbaggery. I've ambushed the Prime Sinister. I've spoken to some of the greatest thinkers and philosophers and activists of our time. I live a life of great meaning and consequence. That made me feel really good. Just to know that even though I love my sister and all of that kind of stuff, everything she says and everything she thinks is irrelevant and doesn't matter by comparison to the knowledge that I possess and the things that I do on a daily basis to make the world a better place, which she never does. We'd all best be cognizant of this. When I went back the very next day, as normally happens, I was being ganged up on in an argument. And that same wave of Zen fell over me. And this massive grin plastered itself upon my face. And every single thing that these three people who were arguing with me said, I came up with a relevant fact and debunked what they said. And in about 15 to 20 minutes of this conversation going round and round and round, them shooting and missing, shooting and missing. They gave up, and I won the conversation. And it wasn't about winning. It was simply about being correct. I was correct. They were wrong. And the fact that they were wrong and did not respect my opinion didn't frustrate me, because I had a massive grin on my face. And that's how we should all really treat our family. And fools who don't know what they're talking about. And don't be frustrated. Not at all. You'll just wind up getting yourself really angry and alienating yourself from them. It's not worth it. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Desert me.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
It's business time, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, 5 days a week. And, what was I going to talk about next? Oh, yes, holidays. Mate, aren't holidays great? As soon as a holiday is on its way, it's never close enough. And as soon as a holiday finishes, it's never been long enough. You know what I'm saying? Unless, of course, you're taking a holiday because you're tired, just physically exhausted, as I was, and you just need to recharge the batteries. But it doesn't mean I don't love what I do. Basically, you've got to take a break from time to time. And so many people in this movement forget that. Forget that they're human, that they require time out, relaxation. need to be taken to a restaurant and shouted a nice meal or a drink of some description once in a while. Taking it easy. Just because we're trying to save the world doesn't mean that we should take responsibility for it. Right? And by that I mean taking responsibility for the whole world's problems. So I took it upon myself to go 3 weeks without email, without text messages, without Facebook, without Skype, without any communication with the outside world. I wasn't going to read any articles. I wasn't going to watch any documentaries. I'd done more than enough as far as I was concerned in 2012, and the world will still be there when I get back 3 weeks later. And here I am, and the world's still here. It hasn't ended because I decided to take some time off. So many people got to recognize and actually be really, really attentive of that fact. If you burn out, you're not going to be any help to anybody. And if you're exhausted, you're not going to really be able to help yourself. How many people kill themselves with stress and frustration because they just don't realize taking time off is a necessary part of work? And just because we're trying to save humanity doesn't mean that everybody should suddenly pay attention to us and make our lives better because we're trying to save them. No, no, it doesn't work that way. If you can't take care of yourself, how on earth are you going to take care or protect or defend anybody else? Doesn't work that way. If I was to perhaps try to go an entire year without taking a day off, I would go insane. In fact, most likely, I would become a lot stronger before going insane and accomplish a lot more work. But I would also damage myself. And when I came to the end of 2012, I was so thankful to be able to go on holiday. And I asked for a slew of donations, and I got them. I got enough donations so that I could just take a couple of weeks off without worrying about money. I wasn't going out and going on spending sprees or anything. I was doing very little comparatively. And it's so interesting how much money you need in order to do nothing. Isn't that sad? Isn't that suckful? You know, that you've got to be basically wealthy in order to do nothing in a lot of ways, just to keep the rent paid and all these bills and everything that accumulate when you're not even using them. I thought that was really irritating, and I was so grateful. Like I think I came back after 2 weeks home, and me and my girlfriend Sarah, we spent a week here basically watching movies together and just hanging out and cooking each other tea and that kind of thing. It was so blissful. And I looked in my account one day to notice that because I'm getting subscribers and things that donate on an automatic regular basis, that although I was taking time off and I wasn't doing my radio show or doing anything, I was still accumulating. And I just burst into tears. I was just so grateful, you know, to actually know that people care, that people want to support me and what I'm doing. I was just so grateful. I don't think anybody else realizes what it's like to be me, and nor should you. Everybody helps me so much. People listen to me with such intensity. So humbling is the experience that it makes me feel obligated to do more. Much more. Like, I have not earned what I'm getting already. I still don't feel that I've done enough. And I don't know what enough even means. Trying to accomplish things and not knowing exactly what I'm really trying to accomplish. I want to be free, sure. How do I quantify that? Will Monsanto be disbanded? Will the US government become restricted back and be reduced into virtually nothing before people can really be free? Is that the end goal here? Maybe. But I don't think that I'll ever see it. I don't know if I'll ever be able to live in a world where I really will be free. I wish that I could. And I have faith that such a world can exist. I just don't know if I'll be alive to see it. I wish that I could be. And that's something I wanted to share with everybody, is that it's my goal and that's what I'm doing. And without the generous support of listeners and donations, literally it wouldn't be possible to even speak right now. And I can't work again. I literally can't. I get panic attacks if I go into a job interview because I just can't follow orders anymore. I want to do what's right. I want to do things that are creative. And to be told that I can't is a reality that I'm just simply ill-equipped to deal with anymore. I used to be capable of putting up with anything. Follow any order. Yes, boss, you know, with a big smile on my face. Go off and do whatever they wanted me to do. Can't do that anymore. And as I was speaking before about the family, that frustration and that anger and that rage that I felt, it occurs to me that probably the vast majority of the listeners to this show and many others don't experience that frustration only for a couple of days a year. It's constant. Constantly not being listened to. Being called a conspiracy theory. Being ridiculed, belittled, mocked by the people who are supposed to love you and support you. I hadn't felt that way in so long. I'd forgotten what it was like. And I realized what it's like for all of you. Some of you are conspiracy theorists and are married to people who love being slaves. Who every day you see them doing stupid things and talking about irrelevant nonsense. Have nothing that matters. God, it was horrible. It was so horrible. I couldn't bear to live like that. I live with my girlfriend Sarah, and she's a truther. We never have such problems in our household. And my heart goes out to all of you who live in that situation right now. You know, I don't know what I can do for you. I was lucky enough to be able to just go there, experience it, and then come back. For many of you, there is no escape. You're stuck at home with your family, or you're stuck in your relationship with your wife or husband who just doesn't get it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what I can do to make things better for you other than plaster that big cheesy grin on your face. Know that they don't have a clue what they're talking about. And all of their opinions and speculations are completely and utterly irrelevant because you are correct. You have the facts. And you should be supremely confident that at least you are not the one who is crazy and stupid enough to believe that everything in the world is just fine. And that the people who are saying that things are wrong crazy ones. We have a caller here. One of my good mates, friend of a friend. I think it's Colston. Are you on the air?
Vinny, my buddy. How are you, my friend? My fellow compatriot. Oh, man. You're getting me right at the heart there, buddy. Getting me right at the heart. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, you know, you push yourself a little too hard, and you got to take a step back once in a while, and I understand what that's all about. I really do. And how do we get through this? Well, yeah, we can't dwell on the negative all the time. We've got to be positive in other parts of our life, you know? But I appreciate, you know, all of your shows, and with the levity and the enthusiasm and hard work that you put into your shows. And I just want to call in there and say I'm here for you, buddy. And how can we get beyond this? You know, we all have to stick together. And, you know, like that Stone song, we all need someone to lean on. And, you know, if we just pay it forward to our brothers and sisters, and as far as the establishment and the NWO, hello?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and the NWO, we just need to expose them, that's all, and come together and have referendum and popular vote and some major legal action and expose these people. So that's all we can do.
You know how the government talks about the troops that go overseas and they give the ultimate sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking we're troops at home and the same ultimate sacrifice is due from us. I think we've lived so long and had so easy that now it's our time to pay. And what happened with my sister, Colston, is that I got what I wanted out of that situation. I went into holidays feeling exhausted from working really hard over the year, but also feeling frustrated, like I didn't care anymore, like frack the truth was something that was going through my mind, and I was wondering, why is that? And I was talking to my friend Will last night, and he said, well, let me offer a suggestion. Is it because that you've stagnated and you're not where you really want to be, and that's why you're starting to kind of just go, well, frack it, frack everything, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is that before those thoughts started to occur to me, something else occurred to me. I hadn't felt frustration, discrimination, or pain, or true rage for so long that I'd forgotten what it felt like. I hadn't had a life-changing experience in a while either. And I wanted some pain. I wanted some frustration so that I could grow stronger from it. And I got precisely what I wanted. And everybody needs to recognize that unless you suffer, unless you experience pain and frustration, you do not grow.
That's true.
You do not evolve. Colston, thank you very much for your call, bro.
Hey, have a good night, man.
Bye. You too, man. Thanks so much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. The call lines are open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, you lose that sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts. Be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the first hour. Caller lines are open, 218-339-8525. What it means to be someone who has elected to serve humanity rather than the state or a corporation. You ever work for somebody and they tell you, just think about it for a second. Is what I'm doing right for the company? Likewise, a politician. Just think about it. What am I doing that is good for the country? Well, like JFK said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And I've been thinking about this rather intensely over the last few days. What am I doing? Is there really any point? And ultimately there is, and it didn't occur to me until last night having a conversation with my friend Will exactly what my role and function is. I don't actually care about a lot of the outcomes to the things we talk about on this show. All right? Let me qualify that. Doesn't mean I don't care about people. Doesn't mean I don't care about the issues. Here's the point. Let's say I'm against the war in Iraq. Can I stop the war in Iraq from happening by myself? No. Let's say I don't like the way Monsanto is taking people's farms off them. Can I stop that from happening by myself? No. I've attended countless protests, spoken to countless people who all have these things that they don't want to happen, yet they happen anyway. So what is my role then? It's not to stop these things from happening. That's not possible. I simply want to know what is happening. And that is actually the function of the media. They don't care what you're talking about or what happens after the conversation. They really don't. They simply want to talk to you, to listen, to find out what's actually going on so they can inform other people of it. What other people do with that information is totally up to them. And Will said to me, you know, well, what impact or influence do you think you're even having, Vinny? And I said, well, incidentally, yesterday I had not less than three people contact me who were starting their own radio shows, who were inspired by me to do so, who are asking me for help, advice, pointers, which I was only too happy to give. He's like, well, that's some results there. And I go, I know. People need an example to follow, don't they? We have this leader complex, this mentality that there's going to be some great benevolent dude who will suss out and solve all our fracking problems. I don't think so. Only you can solve your own problems. But if you do see others who have solved theirs, it gives you inspiration and the ability to solve your own via example. It's just simple. Oh, he can do it, so can I. But it's a personal choice thing. Like the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, can't make it drink. Or alternatively, you can lead a horticulture, but you can't make it think. I had the quite poignant recognition of the facts of the matter, of what my limitations are, what my role really is. And how many people that I actually get to speak to and help on a daily basis. I've been given so many times people have told me that listening to the show is what gets them through the day. That's really,
a lot of responsibility. And the more people I help, I believe the greater my responsibility becomes. That's why I stopped smoking. That's why I'm doing weights and playing hacky sack every day now. I want my head clear. I want my body strong. I need physically the power and the strength to do anything I choose to see, you know? I think we mostly abdicate those responsibilities to ourselves. You know, we're all sitting around just going, oh, that tastes good, I'll eat that, and that's a cool movie, I'll go watch that. And before we know it, we're sitting on our asses 99% of the time and eating crap the other 1% of the time. You know, like literally, we eat crap every day. And the taste and the stink of my own mouth and flesh was starting to disgust me. When I looked in the mirror, I felt sick at what I saw. I'd gained so much weight and I'd lost control of a lot of my emotions. I was getting angry all the time. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be unhealthy. I don't want to be poor. And I take my New Year's resolutions very, very seriously. Most people don't even do them anymore because they realize that I'm a weak person and I can't be bothered. You know, people have got a crisis of faith in themselves. Really. That's what it comes down to. That's what all these Anthony Robbins and personal power type people are always telling people, that humanity is going through a crisis of faith. Not faith in God, not faith in government, but faith in themselves. If you believe that you are capable, then you are capable. If you believe that no matter how hard you try, it's impossible, then it's definitely, definitely impossible. Never under any circumstances will I accept that anything is truly impossible. It might not be easy, may be difficult, and who knows, I may never accomplish all these things that I want to do in life. But it won't stop me from at least trying and persevering. Everyone has that frustration. You know, some people around you, you know, for me, quitting smoking is just, and I've quit. Don't really want those ciggies no more. And the landlady that's just down the block from me was delivering her some rubbish bags yesterday. And I told her that I'd quit and it was just instant, you know. And she'd been smoking for 50 years. 50 years. And as soon as I talked about willpower and how easy it was, her head sunk down and started looking at her shoes. She didn't have any faith in herself. She thinks that this little rolled piece of paper and cotton filter and dried tobacco with 700 chemicals is more powerful than she, a sentient being. How horrific is that? So many people live like that, slaves to their addictions, miserable with themselves, and simply try to feed their addictions in order to abate the misery. No. Never again. In 2012, I made a New Year's resolution. Well, I was sitting in a car at 4 o'clock in the morning outside a dance club, listening to talk radio, because I couldn't be bothered being in the dance club no more. 2012, time to stop fracking around. I now have enough income from supporters and subscribers so that all my bills are paid, and even some of my girlfriend's bills. You know how every time you've got a little bit of spare money and suddenly some fracking bill comes in that takes all that spare money away every time? God! I suddenly found myself having the resources to cope with that stuff. Every time I needed something, my listeners are there for me. Unbelievable. Man, that's awesome. And now, I've got 5,000 YouTube subscribers, huge quantities of radio content and video content all over the web now, being contacted by great people on a daily basis who actually now need my help. And I feel obligated to help them because I'm in a privileged position. Those who are in a position of privilege must do something to help those that are in a less fortunate position. That's the nature of obligation. That's the nature of power. Any form of power needs to be given to others. If you simply sit there and try to accumulate it for yourself, for all the grand prospects, like, oh, I'm so wonderful, I'm so awesome, you're going to wind up a corrupt, selfish scumbag. Happens every time. My father was one of those people. And I have that same streak that he had of malice, cruelty, looking down on other people as if I'm better. I had to stop myself. The other day I was driving around and every single person that I saw was like, oh, they're shorter than me. Oh, they're uglier than me. Oh, they look like a loser. Or they look like them. And I was just like, whoa, hold on. Why am I doing that? I shouldn't be doing that. Is there anybody who I actually think positively about that makes me feel better? I thought of my missus. Thought of Sarah. I felt a hell of a lot better. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.